As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
This is the Civilized Barking Podcast with Zach Jackson.
Hey, it's Civilized Barking. It's Zach Jackson. Football is here. The anticipation is here. First, welcome. Second, thank you to you guys who send questions, who send tweets, who follow along, who read, who subscribe. If you're not subscribed, what the hell are you waiting for? Especially right now, it's training camp everywhere. It's arguably the most exciting training camp in Cleveland in 30 years. I know that would be the entire lifetime for a lot of you guys listening. Get on board. 50% off at The Athletic, but we'll be doing Civilized Barking here in different formats at least twice a week. So I'm recording, guys, about 2 hours after practice three. It's Friday evening. The Browns are underway. They're not doing a bunch. They can't be in full pads and hit until Tuesday. They're easing their way in. That's Kevin Stefanski's plan. This is a smart organization. He is a smart head coach. They know it's a long year. They want it to be a long year. And they're not doing anything silly. So I think today was hour and 40 minutes, maybe 5 minutes shorter than yesterday. I don't know. This is the deal, guys. We're not out there charting every throw or sweating every detail. Heck, today it was only 75. We weren't really sweating at all of camp. This is a good team. And I say this, no hyperbole, yet not declaring anybody any champions. Like, there is an embarrassment of riches offensively. There really is. For the first time, Baker Mayfield has the same coach, the same system. He knows every guy in the huddle. Arguably, the league's best offensive line is back. We haven't seen them unleashed yet. It's not just Nick Chubb. It's Kareem Hunt with him. And a loaded receiving core. Odell Beckham, you know, not fully cleared for stuff, but he's doing the drills. He's exploding. He's running. He looks like Odell Beckham. So we'll see what happens, but I feel the excitement. The high expectations are warranted. And we will see. So thank you guys for listening. As I mentioned, we're going to start next week when we get into full camp. There's going to be at least two podcasts a week. Can I guarantee a player guest? No, I can't. We're still dealing with some restrictions in terms of COVID and getting one-on-one interviews and stuff. We're back doing in-person press conferences. You know, we're back with more access than last year, things like that. You know, COVID is still a factor. Some of the best news of camp honestly came earlier this afternoon when Andrew Berry said the Browns are above 90% in terms of players who are fully vaxxed or going through the process of being fully vaxxed, 100% in terms of coaches and on-field staff. Listen, I'm not going to get into the arguments and the sides. The NFL and the NFLPA have laid out what it's going to be. The NFL has billions, yes, billions of dollars to protect. They're not going to come off these guidelines, and players have two choices. They're going to follow them. They're going to get vaccinated, and they're going to reap the benefits. They're not going to get vaccinated. They're frankly going to have pretty miserable years and deal with different rules, but that's their choice. And look, it starts somewhere. And if you're listening to this, you know the Brown shit show of 20 plus years. So Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, both of whom are fully vaccinated, both have stood in front of the team and have spearheaded programs to say, here's why you should get vaccinated. But they've also been united in their message of saying, We are not going to hold it against you if you don't. We want you to understand why we want you to. We want you to understand the restrictions under which you're going to operate, but we're not going to let this divide us. They know what's at stake. They know, like, yeah. So this is a really good team, guys. And again, preseason power rankings, 5th, 8th, 11th, like, I believe it. You know, best roster in the league for now and for going forward. It's not the best in the league, but it's up there, right? It's a really exciting time to be a Browns fan. So if you've stuck it out, or even if you haven't, I hope you're enjoying it. If you're listening to this and clicking on because you follow one player because he's from your hometown or you went to school with him, you know that the Browns for a long time have not looked like this. Know that the other teams looked like, you know, these mythological creatures when they came out of the locker room. The Browns are loaded, and we'll see how it goes starting on September 12th. We're 2 weeks from tomorrow from the first preseason game. They're going to pace themselves as they should into and out of that. So, you know, with all that being said, I'm going to, Jason Lloyd is on a short vacation with his family. He's going to be back at practice almost every day. I'm going to be there, I think, every day but one of the open training camp sessions, which go pretty much the entire month of August. We're going to have it covered. You know, might have some other writers on, might talk to some different folks. But the format of this is we're going to talk a little Browns. I'm going to give you the tutorial, give you some observations, answer some questions. And then Robert Mays, my colleague who does the Athletic NFL show, and really writes a lot of interesting stuff on league matters all the time and recently wrote about Baker. He came to practice on the second day, and he and I did an interview for the Athletic Football Show. So we're going to close by listening to that because we touched on a lot of things. And frankly, you don't just have to listen to me. You'll get to listen to Robert and myself going through things and talking about early impressions. And that's what they are. So I called a last-minute audible. I'm going to save going through position by position with impressions for down the road. I mean, guys, we've seen three practices, all just in helmets and shells, you know, none over an hour and 45 minutes. We haven't seen a full-speed 11-on-11 drill yet. And frankly, you know, we shouldn't, right? They're easing their way in. So Friday today was the first day with the fans being there. They brought an energy, an entertainment level. I mean, hell, at one point, Jadeveon Clowney during a special teams drill was out on the field pumping his fists and having fun with the fans and didn't even see the gunners on the punt drill whizzing right by him. So I got a chuckle out of that. But Miles was playing to the crowd a little bit. And it's just a different energy, right? They can pump all, they can turn the volume up on the music and they can say, you know, we're excited to be here. They are. They can say we're excited to not be in masks and under the heavy restrictions of last year. And that's true too. You know, but until the fans get in there and until you start doing something there, it's just not the same. So long time coming, but I'll just say this, you know, these are the first impressions. The Browns are loaded. More importantly is what I talked about. Stefanski and Barry are smart guys. They're on the same page. They know the roster's not perfect. They're not perfect. They know the Browns really haven't won anything yet, but they did win a playoff game. They do have the experience of going through the wild roller coaster that last year was and coming out on the side of being 11-5, ending the playoff drought, maybe ending the Steelers. We'll see how that goes. Winning a playoff game, getting to Kansas City and seeing, hey, we're there, you know, and everybody's still chasing Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes is 25 years old, and he might be the best quarterback I've ever seen in my life. Is it too early to say that? Yes. If you really want to argue with me on that, you're probably an idiot. But anyway, idiots are welcome here too. We're just talking a little football. We're having fun. So here's what I did. Again, I just opened it up to questions and for Askin' Jackson, hashtag Askin' Jackson on Twitter. They're always open. I'll do a number of written mailbags, but I like to use the questions here for podcasts, and we're just going to keep it moving. So I asked for two about 40 minutes ago. I got 15. Let's scroll through them. Question from Robert, Askin' Jackson. Who do you think are the most interesting possible bubble players? Robert, that's an interesting question. It's an important one. But 3 days in, I don't want to get into that. So I'm going to circle that, and I'm certainly going to write about it, and we will talk about it as it goes on. Again, the pads don't come on until Tuesday, and we're 2 weeks from the first preseason game. Bubble guys earn their way in full-speed drills. You know, so even I'll sit here and I'll always tell you one thing when you watch a preseason football game, you watch who's on special teams because that means the coaches have them first in line somewhere. Well, we're 3 days in. D'Ernest Johnson just got back today. His girlfriend had a baby. He's going to be on the special teams. You know, guys have been in and out. They're not pushing Jarvis Landry. They're not pushing Rashard Higgins for obvious reasons. They're not pushing Grant Delpit. You know, Greedy Williams does look good in limited action, limited sample size, obviously, but we'll see. It's too early for that. Same with Sean's question, what rookie or second-year player do you think has a breakout year? Well, I'm going to keep singing the praises of Donovan Peoples-Jones. I can't believe this guy is a sixth-round pick. We'll see how it goes. He's not a finished product, and he's not a star yet. But boy, oh boy, all the qualities are there for him to do that. Here is what I thought in just quick scrolling through my phone was the most interesting question. It comes from Derek, and it says, hashtag asking Jackson. Assuming Wentz has to spend some time on the sideline, what would the Colts need to offer Andrew Berry for him to give much thought into moving Case Keenum? I don't think it would happen. I think the Browns value Case Keenum. I believe they pay him $8 or $10 million this year, and they think he's worth every penny. A is an insurance policy, and it's about winning games. If Baker was to, you know, deal with something like a concussion or a high ankle sprain and miss multiple games, they think Case Keenum could run the offense at, you know, a decent level, could give them a chance to win games. But B, it's about Case Keenum knows Stefanski. He knows the offense inside and out. It's tutoring Baker last year and a little bit now, but it's helping Baker get his master's in the offense the way that Keenum has it. It's having that guy ready. And I mentioned a 2 or 3 or 4 week scenario that could come up. But maybe it's a 2 or 3 series scenario, right? You just never know in this league. And obviously, the Colts didn't expect Carson Wentz to hurt his foot on the third day of camp, right? So that is a great question. The answer to me is it would have to be a whole lot. Like, Chris Ballard, the Colts GM, is not going to call and say, we'll give you 2 fives for Case Keenum. No. That wouldn't happen. he has value to the Browns. And, like, again, let's get quickly off the question trail here. All 11 starters back on offense. Well, that doesn't include Odell. That technically doesn't include DPJ, right? That doesn't include Kareem freaking Hunt. And oh my gosh, guys, he looks phenomenal. Phenomenal. Like, I think when they do the little bit of hitting and full speed stuff, they're going to need to call Kareem off of hurting his own defensive backs. He looks that good. And he's just seems to be at a good place in his life. You know, just watching him interact on the practice fields, and in addition to going through the drills, having been out at his youth camp out in Willoughby, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks ago, I think Kareem is at a completely different place in his life and his career than he was 2 years ago when he came here. And that's good for him. That's good for the Browns. And I think Kareem Hunt is going to help the Browns win games. That is for sure. Question, could Malik McDowell end up being the versatile X factor the D-line needs to be elite? I don't know. When you look at Malik McDowell out there, not many dudes look like that, right? It basically, when they line up, it goes Clowney, Garrett, and then McDowell in the free category. But he was drafted 4 years ago. He hasn't played a game. You know, the Browns were able to get him after the draft or during the draft. I think it was after the draft because nobody else was taking that on. So I don't think the Browns do anything lightly. I think they believe he's turned his life around. But really the answer right now to this question is, you know, you can't judge anything D-line wise until the pads come on. You know, and so these guys are going through the drills. And frankly, we're still in a restricted, at least for the first 2 days we were, a restricted viewing area. We couldn't see the defense, especially the defensive line. It was the furthest possible away. So we'll see and be watching that. Malik McDowell needs to get in the preseason games and play. He needs to show the coaches he's in football shape. He needs to show the coaches he's learning. And we'll see. And that goes to the two practices with the Giants in mid-August that will be big. Again, not going to get into bubble players and things like that. But in the competitive and physical settings is where the bubble players who eventually win out will separate themselves. And that's a long way away. Oh, question from Gabe. How much should we overreact to the kicking situation with Parkey? Well, there's been 3 days of practice. Two of them they didn't kick. On one they did. Cody Parkey went, I believe, 1 of 5. I didn't see all 5. I saw the last 4. It went make, miss, doink, narrow miss, bad miss. Listen, Cody Parkey's missed some kicks in his career. Cody Parkey's made a lot of kicks in his career. Cody Parkey has done two stints with the Browns. And you know what? Last year, he had the slump in December. But other than that, he was good. Did in the other teams miss kicks, and Cody Parkey didn't. So we'll see. He's not a world beater, and his longest last year was 46. And I worry about the special teams in general. This team does not have a natural return man. I don't think JoJo Natson has much of a chance to make this roster. Jamie Gillen was just okay last year. I think DVOA 27th, the special teams were. So we'll see. It's something to watch, but we're not going to bury Cody Parkey off July 29th. We're just going to see, you know, how that goes. Question from Chris. Does the fact that Anthony Walker is the defensive signal caller indicate that he's expected to be on the field for all three downs? That is an interesting question, and that is the way that you would naturally look at it, Chris. I brought it up here. Sorry, I faded away for a second. So Anthony Walker, over his last three seasons, has played 66%, 79%, and 68% of the snaps. That was with the Colts. Now, last year, no Browns linebacker. I mean, B.J. Goodson played a bunch, but they were rotating him pretty freely. So I think the Browns really value Anthony Walker from a leadership standpoint. I think that's obvious with the green dot, with the contract. I think they believe that he's a talent upgrade over Goodson and that he's an upgrade in terms of the overall structure of the linebacking room. JOK is on the COVID list. At the time they signed Anthony Walker, I don't think they thought they were getting JOK. I think they were drafting a linebacker late in the third or early in the fourth, a young fast guy that they could bring along slowly. So I guess my answer right now is we'll see. I don't think any linebacker plays 100% of the time, but that was kind of my thought when John Johnson said that Walker's going to wear the green dot. Well, I wonder who's going to wear the second green dot. I will ask Stefanski that. I'm not sure he'll answer that, but we'll see. And the last question we'll get to in this group, question from JC, do you think playing across from Miles will actually help Clowney, or should we have pretty low expectations? Well, I love the Clowney signing. I don't love it at the expense of losing Sheldon Richardson, but if Clowney stays healthy, he and Miles are going to wreck some games. They're going to cause some real headaches, and that's from Tuesday to Thursday in game planning, and that's on Sunday they're going to hit people. So the options that a healthy Clowney brings to Joe Woods and brings to your defense are plentiful. You know, will he stay healthy? Is he still able to take over games? You know, we'll see. We'll see. I don't know that he needs to have dominant stretches, right, in terms of games or weeks. I think he needs to be solid, do his job, and help the run defense. Get to the quarterback when called upon. We'll see. But look, the whole intent of this defensive remake obviously was to get better talent. But the tantalizing thing, I think, internally and externally, is the versatility in the matchups. That a guy like Clowney, that a guy like JOK, that a guy like Delpit, right? Jacob Phillips, all of these guys. Malik Jackson, he's 31, but he has been a really good interior pass rusher in his career, and those guys are hard to find. So the mix and match, JOK helping cover tight ends, helping keep Lamar Jackson in the pocket, for example. Same with Jacob Phillips, who's a big, fast freak. Like, we'll see how that comes out, and we're going to need real games to see that. Joe Woods isn't going to tip his hand in the preseason, but the intent was to get better, get deeper, but really get more versatile. And so, except against the Ravens, I don't know when you play a bunch of base defense in this league, right? So especially if you're going to score, you're going to be in these pass down defenses all the time. And can Clowney come inside? Can Miles come inside? Can you flip those guys? How much pressure are you going to try to create with your other guys? I think I've seen this. I've seen glimpses of depth in the cornerback room, and that could be a real big competition. But up front, you don't want to lose Denzel, obviously. I love the Troy Hill signing for the savvy and the playmaking. Troy's going to be 30. He's tiny by NFL standards. We'll see how that works out. Greg Newsom's 21 years old. I love the pick in the long term. I'm not sure what you're getting this September and October out of Greg Newsom, and we'll see. And again, with Greedy, there's a question mark. But this is a good team. So enjoy it. Thank you for listening. Get you out of here. As I mentioned, this is Robert Mays and me from Thursday, day two of training camp on The Athletic Football Show.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
I am thrilled now to welcome the Athletics Browns writer, Zach Jackson. Zach, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Just to give people a little bit of an insight into what this job is like, we are currently in my car, in my rental car, in the parking lot outside of the Browns facility. The part of the reason for this is that it's still a little bit weird with COVID protocols. We can't be inside the building in the workroom or anything like that. So there is a trailer where other people are working. We're not going to record in there. This is the quietest only option, and we're essentially racing against time as the air conditioning is off. That's what we're doing right now. This is a luxurious job.
Of all the Chevy Malibus I've ever sat in, this is one of the nicer. But no, Robert, I've covered this team for a long time, and I haven't been in that building since December of 19. No, probably January of 20, because you know they cleaned house as they were doing annually there for a while. Then you go into the period you're not away, and then by the time the league year started, COVID had happened. So I've been here, I've been out here, but I haven't been in the building in a long time.
And this is a team and a stop that I was really looking forward to, because we were talking about this a little bit during practice, and it came up over and over again in questions to Baker and questions to J.C. Treader today. This is a team that seemed constantly in flux for years. It was a new coach, it was a new quarterback, it was a new system. Even if the quarterback was the same, the coach was different. Even if the coach was the same, the system was different. It was always felt like something was changing. And now there's continuity here. There is a streamlined level of communication. And I think that so far, to me, at least in my only day here, is the theme of what this camp kind of feels like for this team.
It is, because 2 years ago when they had all the hype, and you know there are 100 reasons we could do a podcast series on how that went off the rails. But there was new, right? It was like, we're ready to go for it. So we went and got OBJ. You know, we're not sure who's where on the O-line, and that was part of the downfall. Baker had played well for the second half of his rookie year, but he had only done it in that 8-game period, you know, and there was a new coach. And, you know, first thing Freddie did was get a new defensive coordinator. And so there's new pieces everywhere. So now you have all the offense back. Odell is kind of the only new guy, right? You have a 1A running back in Kareem Hunt, who's a former rushing champion. You know, tight end, I don't know, but David Njoku really looks like a stud player. You know, Harrison Bryant would start or be the number two on a lot of teams, right? And there's even depth on the O-line because of what they went through last year with some minor injuries and some COVID. So it's remade on defense, but they're a lot more athletic. They're a lot more versatile. But you look at this offense, and you look at the team in general. I mean, I'm standing out here, Robert, and for years, you watch the other team run in the stadium and you think, oh my gosh, that's what an NFL team looks like. But you watch this team, Myles Garrett and Clowney. And
them standing next to each other is wild.
Yes.
I mean, it is. It really jumps out to you. One, just the physical stature. And it's a silly thing, like the get off the bus team. But this is a get off the bus team. And it was that to a certain extent when they had that hype. Like Myles Garrett was one of the reasons for that. They had a lot of high draft picks. But it's everywhere now. And I think even if you look at the tight end room, I think that's a perfect example, right? You have Njoku, who's a former first-round pick, is obviously very, very talented. It hasn't really panned out the way you'd hope. But the depth is, it's insane. I mean, you have Harrison Bryant as your third guy there. And that's when you're looking at some teams and you see them out on the field, the holes become really apparent to you. It's like, oh, yeah, sure, that guy is a starting corner on this team. The opposite is true. When you look at this team on the field, every single spot, there's another useful player behind the superstar level player. And I think with very few exceptions, and we talk about it all offseason. This is one of the best rosters in the league. Can this team push the Chiefs in the AFC? Where do they stick fit in the pecking order of the entire league. And then you see them out on the field. It's like, oh shit, that's right. Yeah. Like, this team has a ton of dudes on it.
Yeah. Like, one of my lasting memories from that 2 years ago when there was all this hype and Baker was riding high. First day of camp, I was hanging out, and Alonzo Highsmith, who was like second in charge, right? People know the name. He's been around the NFL forever. He was almost like, he's hanging out where we are, like admiring this talent that was coming out. And, you know, it all was blown up 5 months later. But I'm sitting here watching this and going, you know what? All the things you just mentioned, but Miles is older now. He's in his fifth year. He's established, right? There's no ceiling on him, but he's established. Like, most of these guys are 25, 26. They played. And I just think it's so important through all the madness of last year. And we'll see, you know, who picks up where they left off. But they needed to win games in December to get in. They did. They had all the controversy and turmoil with the COVID stuff. They went and won a playoff game. They went to Kansas City and they left feeling ill because they didn't win. They could have. So there's a certain list of accomplishments, but they've been there. They've been tested and together. And so not only have the Browns been bad for so long, but they've never brought back anybody with that's you know, really done anything here except talk about it, quite frankly.
It's interesting. One of the things that jumped out to me today is Baker is just putting hot sauce on the ball. I mean, the RPMs and the miles per hour as he's letting that thing rip, it almost feels intentional. It feels like he's really juiced up right now. And I think that, to me, is one thing that really jumps out, is that he's in year two of this offense. Like, this is a situation where he could take another step forward. And that, to me, is, again, it's one of those things that kept coming back and back and back. And I think Drew Petzing, their tight ends coach, brought it up to me today, who we're going to talk to a little bit later. He said, last year, it's like you're learning English. And this year, it's like you can learn sarcasm. And those language metaphors are consistent when you talk about offense. Case Keenum said a very similar thing to me today about conjugating verbs and everything else. But that's what it feels like. It feels like this is the chance for the first time in so long for this team to build on something rather than start at the foundation again.
Well, there's no doubt that, you know, the way they handled Baker with is malpractice with all the change and all that. When you draft a guy number one, right, you want him to go. But to me, I always say this. Baker's body language, he tells you, right? He's an in-your-face kind of guy. Yep. He's a not-hide-anything kind of guy. And in 19, his body language sucked. And people say his body sucked and his play sucked, and it did. It wasn't all his fault, right? But last year, early in the year, you saw some really bad games. You saw some moments. But late in the year, the body language was good. He played at an excellent level from us, and really even better than that in a couple spots. In just 2 days, you know, not even full-speed team drills, I'm watching him. His body language is good, right? He's getting after his teammates. He's listening in on the huddle. Like, last year, he was probably listening in when – Case's reps because he didn't know the play.
Yeah.
Now he's saying, I want to know because I want to look, and he's yelling and he's demonstrative. And it's like, it's only 2 days, right? But he just, the vibe around that is really good. And Baker is telling you with his body language that he feels like he's sitting on a big year.
It feels, and I don't want to read too much into one quote, but Treader today when he was talking, he said that Baker's leadership has improved and his preparation has improved. And I think that Baker Mayfield has always been someone who's charismatic, right? He's magnetic. Guys are attracted to him. They always have been. I mean, Joel Bitonio talked to me about that after his rookie year, when you can kind of feel that energy. But it now feels like it's a more nuanced version of that leadership, and it's something that is a little bit, it's grounded. It's grounded in things that are more real and replicable, and guys are respecting the work he's putting in and the guy that he is right now. That's kind of the feeling that I've gotten based on some of the conversations that I've had.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think, you know, he was always a leader. It is his natural personality. But you come in, you're a young player, right? You have all this change. And then especially in 19 when you don't play well. And I go back to early last year. I mean, it was bad. He had a couple really bad games in the week 6 game at Pittsburgh. The first throw of the game, I think he threw it right to Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
And it was over. And it was like, man, this is not going well. But outside of that, they had some circumstances why he didn't get that many opportunities. Chubb went down. Teller went down. It wasn't until November that they reinvented themselves, and then you saw a different guy. So, yeah, I think there's less of a forced leadership.
Yes.
Less of
it's earned.
Yes. And less of an obligation, right? Yeah. Like, I'm the quarterback. I'm this. They're going to pay me all this money. I have to go do this. Now I think it's like, hey, I'm in front of this huddle. They've given me all these weapons. I'm going to go out and let it rip, and I'm going to get everybody in line, because we know that, like, pretty good isn't going to cut it. We have to be excellent this entire year.
And the one thing, you talk about all the continuity, and it's obvious there's a ton of continuity, but the one area where there isn't is with Beckham. Like, he was not the guy there at the end of the year when they were playing well. And I think that the conversation around him has been a little bit misguided, right? This idea that they were better without him is truly insane to me on multiple levels. And we'll talk about some of the specifics of that. But you told me that his, just how he's looked physically, has really jumped out to you. And I have heard that from multiple people. And what about just the way he looks, the way he's moving has been noticeable so far?
So he comes out in minicamp and nobody really expects it, right? Because that's the second week of June. So we're talking like 7 months off the surgery. He's wearing long sleeves. He's going through the motions. He's not doing anything near an explosive thing. He's Odell, right? But you don't see it. So earlier this week before they got started, we went out to his youth camp and you see him and he just looked more toned. He's just jogging around, giving people high fives and playing with the kids. But he's not wearing a brace. He's not doing anything. He's out here moving. Then he comes out on the first day of practice, and he's letting it loose. It's probably not top speed because we've seen Odell's top speed. But I'm telling you, Robert, not 1 ounce of hesitation. You know, not one cut where he seems a little hesitant or, you know, unsure of anything. Go, stop, cut. Just looked like Odell going through practice. And it maybe wasn't as flashy. He's wearing the team colors, right? He's not jumping for the one-handers when he's wide open. But, like, watching him move yesterday, like, there's no way that guy just had ACL surgery 8-9 months ago. Like, he looks like he could play right this second.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
People noticed what he looked like this offseason physically in that building. And I heard about it. And I heard about how much it meant for him to go work out with Baker and Austin and how much that means for what they could do this year. And I think that when I'm thinking about how Odell fits into their offense, I think about it in two ways. At the end of last season, even if they were playing well offensively, you could see how defensive structures changed because he wasn't in the game. They did not respect the level of athleticism and explosiveness that was on the field at any given time. There are promising players out there, right? Rashard Higgins, Donovan Peoples-Jones, useful young guys. They do not scare you. And the gravity of what you can do defensively changes because of that. You could see it in that Kansas City game. They did not respect them. So that was what that offense looked like. I also think that when you're thinking about Beckham and the way he fits into this, you have to project what this year's offense is going to look like. Because there are aspects of this offense, and I think the Browns offense 2.0 that we're going to see under Kevin Stefanski is going to have more stuff where you're getting the ball into guys' hands. Some of the things we see from the Titans with A.J. Brown, where these glance routes and you're getting it to him on the move to create those yak opportunities, they did not exist in this offense last year. I have a hunch they're going to be a part of this offense in 2021. That is the guy who can run them. Without him, you can't do that stuff. So not only do we see the impact at the end of last year, I think if you're projecting it forward, he is a necessary piece in that projection.
Yeah, we saw it in the Dallas game last year, but that's the only time we saw it. And 3 weeks later, he was gone.
Yep.
And the offense, and I think then when you talk about kind of the individual stuff, the offense was still very much finding its way.
Yes.
And they thought, okay, you know what? Here's a Dallas defense that seems pretty disorganized. Let's throw the ball to Odell and hand the ball to Odell and see if we can make them more disorganized. I can tell you this about Odell. We're at his, or on the other side of the town the other day at his youth camp, and he hadn't spoken, at least, you know, to a group in months. So he's given the answers and he's going deep, and that's Odell. I mean, he could go deep on what he had for lunch, right? But, you know, all of a sudden someone asks him something, I forget, and he shifts in the middle of his answer and says, you know what really bummed me out? Like watching that Kansas City game, knowing I could make one play, just one. And he's basically saying, I'm not trying to win an award for fastest rehab. I would have done that when I was younger. And I'm not saying that I'm going to come in and put up these huge numbers. I'm saying I can make one or two plays that can help us get to the next level. And anybody that argues that really is an idiot.
And you look at some of the other positions, I mean, the secondary jumps out where Greedy Williams is working with the first team defense today. And Newsom will probably be a part of that. And I think that you have to think about the long term and when how much those guys are going to be in there, whatever. But you look at that group, it's John Johnson, it's Ronnie Harrison, it's Troy Hill. I mean, they're so deep there. They're so deep on the offensive line. What are the areas of concern on this team? Because I think that in terms of roster talent, it's been a lot of rosy outlook stuff over the last few months here. What little tiny cracks maybe people on the outside not seeing or not thinking about enough?
Well, it starts with the defense. I mean, they've remade it, but it was pretty bad last year. And I still think it's thin in most spots. Now, right, you mentioned corner, safety, right now here going to August 1st, it's deep. And that's assuming that Greedy and Delpit are going to be back, which we're still in the assumption state. Everything checks off with their rehab, right? We haven't seen them tackle anybody. We haven't seen them play football. To me, the glaring one is defensive tackle. You know, they bring in Malik Jackson, who they really like. He's 31. They bring in Billings. He didn't play last year. He showed up. He was way overweight in the spring. So I love the thought of Clowney, and I think Clowney and Miles can wreck games. I think they can consistently wreak havoc. They got rid of Sheldon Richardson in doing that. Now, presumably, they were cutting that money to do some extensions, which are necessary. But I just think, like, how does it go wrong? Well, one significant injury on the defensive line, and all of a sudden, you're really
thin. It's a house of cards. That spot is, like, it's very fragile in the way that they've built
it. The linebacker group is significantly upgraded, but one of them is a rookie in JOK, who's on the COVID list and is missing time. And, like, JOK is a super athlete and super rangy, and they need that. But teams are going to run at him too, and he's 220 pounds, right? So we'll see. So it's much better on paper, but you know, I'm concerned about the special teams. The Browns are going to have to win close games. I thought they were shaky at best last year, and that's not because Cody Parkey just went 1-5 out there. It's just in general we kicking
don't,
games.
You
adventure.
Don't have to tell me about Cody Parkey.
I don't
have to tell me.
You know, like I said, I don't expect the offense to roll the ball back out there and score 40 a game. But I think eventually they have that kind of talent. Defensively, I need to see it, and I just worry in those certain areas that they're awfully thin.
I just think that we forget sometimes. I know he won Coach of the Year, but just how high the degree of difficulty was for a coach to come in with no offseason, putting in a new system, everything else, and for them to have the offensive success that they did. What this looks like in the second stage and how they build on it and how they tweak it, I know that was a bit of emphasis for that staff this offseason. What that looks like in practice with just a couple pieces changed offensively. What does Beckham give you? And then I think the other part of this is not only does Beckham give you a new element, by having Anthony Schwartz, it's an added element that Odell doesn't have to be. He doesn't have to be the speed guy anymore. Right. And I think that's what's so interesting to me is that it's not a ton of changes, but the changes that we're going to see I think would be transformative in a way that it's hard to understand right now.
Absolutely. If Schwartz catches on, he can stretch the defense. Beckham gets back. Even if it's not September 12th in Kansas City, he can stretch the defense. And I think Donovan Peoples-Jones has superstar ability. I do.
Off the charts athleticism. Off the charts. I mean, if you look at some of his combine testing numbers, it's absolutely crazy. And I think that's the nice thing about this team is that there are those guys kind of waiting in the wings. When you look at some other rosters, independent of the starting 11, how many up-and-coming players do you have? Where can you go from here? And I think that's what's so encouraging about this team is it seems like there's a lot of guys. I mean, they are built for now. They're built for later. It's you try not to get too excited about it because I remember what that summer of 2019 was like. I worked at a site that had a week dedicated to the Browns. It did not go very well. And so you try to pump the brakes a little tiny bit, but it gets hard to do.
Yeah, they have options, right? They have depth. They have some polish, as we mentioned, and they just have talent. When I think of Peoples-Jones, I think of the strangeness of last year's training camp, right? And then the rookies you just expect to be behind. No OTAs, no orientation, no anything. All of a sudden, report this day, take your test, and go out there. A couple times, there was one pass in particular, but he did this on more than really 2 or 3 days. I don't even know, Robert, that this pass was actually intended for him. It was so high and behind him. But he just kind of reaches up and grabs it.
When you have a 50-inch vertical, it helps. Yeah.
Right, and it's like a baby deer just found his footing. And it's like, you know, we just watched this boring, hot day at camp where everybody's wearing masks and nobody wants to be here anymore. But wait, did that just really happen? And then, you know, he was inactive early in the year. He was not in the plans. They had a game where guy gets hurt in pregame. Well, Peoples-Jones comes in and make a play. The game where Odell goes down on the first offensive play, I believe that it was. He wasn't in the game plan. He makes the game-winning touchdown catch. Like, from there, his confidence took off. And I just think now, offseason to gather himself, and offseason to really know and to be in the plans. I mean, do not dismiss this guy. And I've been telling every one of my fantasy nerd friends, draft Peoples-Jones late, because there are so many worse shots you can take on greatness. I really think that.
If you're betting on traits, it's not a bad bet to make. All right, speaking of hot days at camp, we are melting in this car. So that's going to be all we got. Zach, thank you very much for the time. So good to catch up with you. So good to be here. I can't even tell you how nice it is to have these conversations in person again.
Well, I'll see you at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, there you go. Talk to you soon, buddy.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner StubHub has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.